Look up there in the sky. It's a bird, a plane. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour.
Those boys are so handsome.
One writer.
One artist.
One weekly discussion of comics and nerd culture. I'm your host, Robbie Norman, and I have to admit the state of my genitalia is regrettable.
Oh, we are trolling each other way too much.
You go, okay, you want to,
I know, I admit I'm taking it too far. Because I wrote, I'm your handsome and well-endowed host, Eric Z. Goodnight, professional artist and illustration nerd.
We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, much, much more. Eric has officially declared war.
you're not afraid to, not afraid to read that shit.
And Eric is, gonna get his comeuppance in next week. I can play a long game. I have all the patience in the world.
The long con. It's good. I love it.
But yeah, we are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour.
In case you're tuning in for the first time, that's not our normal intro.
That is not our normal intro. Not generally is not our normal intro.
Not usual. No. Not typical.
No. But we have a good week. Good week of comics.
A delightful week of comics.
We're talking Saga later on. Which
always good times.
Always good when talking about Saga, even though I want more. I want more Saga. That's not enough.
Okay. All right. Just keep it calm there, buddy.
I am calm.
Okay. You're supposed to scream that at me.
But that is the opposite of calm?
Okay. I'll explain irony to you later.
Okay, good. We don't have enough time right now. Mm-mm. Let's get to weekly lobbies. Weekly floppies is part of the show when Eric and I read a selection of the week's books, tell you to buy or do not buy them. It's very important to listen to us. Absolutely. First up, Marvel book of the year, probably the highest selling book of
the most sellingest
book in like over a decade already. It just came out Wednesday. It sold like a gajillion copies. Pre-sold, I guess, to comic book stores. Yeah. It is Star Wars, number one, written by Jason Aaron. There's a credits page in this book somewhere. Probably
it is at the end.
Of course. Why would they not make it easy on me?
Mm-hmm. Well, they specifically
the end of
hate
this
you.
Comic or the end of all the previews for the other Star Wars comics.
I think it's at the end of the comic, but I don't know. I'm
joking. Written by Jason Aaron, art John Cassidy, colors Laura Martin, letters Chris Alopoulos.
Chris the Greek.
This is a good Star Wars comic. It's very handsome.
I was thinking it was just too boring and by the numbers until we have Sniper Chewbacca jumping out of like a collapsing tower. And I'm like, okay, this book is now full on awesome. I appreciate it. It really turned it up at that point. You have the garbage aliens dismantling the Millennium Falcon.
Gotta watch out for those garbage aliens.
I know. It's pretty rad. Garbage aliens.
No, Jason Aaron's done a pretty good job at capturing the voices.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. It works. It feels, with any licensed property, a little, hey, the gang's all here, fan wanky, you know, and I think they deal with that pretty well, and he starts getting into actual good comic work pretty quickly. I enjoyed it way more than I thought I was going to let myself enjoy it.
My favorite part is Vader using stormtroopers as
human shields. What else good are they? They can't shoot shit.
No, they can't. So yeah, just absorb blaster fire.
Yeah, all the other ones are just like, okay, all right, Vader. Thanks for sparing me and killing everyone else.
There's a few left, I guess, that were at the end. Yeah. How do you feel if you're a stormtrooper hanging around with Vader when he can just momentarily just lift you up and throw you in front of him?
Well, I mean, I guess if, I don't know, if like your commanding officer is like a magic space wizard, you're pretty much going to be like, thank you for sparing me, Lord. What else do you say? Thank you for not chopping my head off with your space sword.
Yeah. No, it's, John Cassaday, as always, does a good job.
Yep.
I don't think, he doesn't, the characters are recognizable. I think that's really.
Which always bothers me, honestly. Not that it's recognizable, but that it's such painstaking, like, photo reference, and it makes the faces feel really cold and stagnant to me. You know, Cassaday can, there's a big difference in, like, Cassaday drawing, like, Beast and Elijah Snow and, like, Carrie Fisher. Like, when he draws Carrie Fisher, it looks like he's tracing something. When he draws Elijah Snow or Beast, it just looks like he's making an awesome drawing, and it works better. It's just, it leaves me cold. One of the main reasons I hate licensed comics. But I think if you were going to put together a dream team to do a licensed comic, it would be this one.
Yes. But I'm a buy. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I hate this kind of thing. And I'm a buy. And I think the teasers are, they're warming me up for these other books. So, God damn it, making me like Star Wars again.
It needs some rehab.
Probably so.
So we're double buy, Star Wars number one.
If you can believe it.
I know, it's crazy.
Nerds like Star Wars? What?
It's insane.
I know.
Next
weird.
Up, I'm very interested to hear what Eric has to say about this book. Shield number two, written by Mark Waid, art by Humberto Ramos.
Yep.
Mr. Button Eyes himself.
Button Eyes.
Victor Olazabal on inks, Edgar Delgado colors, Joe Caramagna on letterers. Shield number two featuring Miss Marvel. Miss Marvel. What was I saying? It's a high school adventure with Shield and a smuggler of old supervillain stuff.
Yep.
And he has like little goo monsters come out. People throw up goo monsters.
Yep.
What do you think about the art, Eric? That is the question. What do you think about Humberto Ramos?
Is that really your answer? Because you know what my answer is.
No, I want to know. The
real thing is, does my hatred of Humberto Ramos, is it trumped by my love of Kamala Khan? The answer is yes.
Okay.
I don't know that I accept it's canon that she's basically girl Reed Richards. I don't.
She's stretchy?
Yeah. I
think she has all the abilities Reed Richards plus. She's like Reed Richards plus Mystique. I think they haven't really done her any like much imitating other people. Like you see her become Captain Marvel.
Yes.
And like very early on but then she just becomes herself in a costume. But I think eventually they will tap into that and that she has all those abilities.
I just kind of don't like the idea of her stretching thin and going under a door. It seems too extreme for her power. But, you know, at this point, it's all being written and running at the seat of its pants. So I don't see any reason that, I don't know. I'll come to grips with it eventually.
I imagine that is, she is learning her abilities and that eventually she's Reed Richards in the fact that she can manipulate her body, but I think she is more powerful than him, at least in that department. Mark Waid writing Kamala Khan is actually, because I really do like this kinship that her and Paul and Coulson have about of their nerdery of their comic book knowledge, knowledge.
I do think that's something that has been ignored the past several issues of Ms. Marvel. It was really obvious when it first started, you know, she's nerding out over Carol Danvers specifically. But it's endearing and it's nice that Wade ties that in. But it's getting like, it's so obvious that Coulson's superpower is being a huge effing nerd. He's like basically like a comic book store owner.
I think he's also immortal.
Probably.
Did you catch the substitute teacher's fake name?
Yes. I can't remember what it was, but I was like, ugh, really?
Where Steranko.
Steranko. Yeah, that's, ugh, really?
Come on.
Why isn't she Mrs. Stan Lee? Is there anything else obvious that we can put up there?
Eric, I'm going to break this to you. Most people reading this comic, no idea who Jim Steranko is. Just because you and I know him very well does not mean most people will not even catch that reference.
Well, she should have been named Mrs. Comic Book and see if they caught that.
I like it.
Whatever,
nerd. You're just a curmudgeon. He hates everything.
Only Umberto Ramos.
I don't mind his art in this. This is...
This is surprising for his art, and there's several panels that work really well for me.
No, I sometimes it can... I think it comes down to how many faces have, like, triangle chins.
Mm-hmm.
If he minimizes that, I can enjoy it. If it's prevalent all the time, I hate it. But this, most people have, like, normal people chins.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think even beyond just the way that the figures are handled, it's one of the things that really challenges me about Ramos is, like, the acting of the characters. Like, it's so big and overblown, it's irritating. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, I think it comes across acting.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's just, I think that this kind of book, actually, it works. That, that exaggeration.
It's
a very adventure-y book. It's very kind of overblown, over the top. It's certainly not a book of intimate moments.
And I get that. And there are some pages that it works very well for. But particularly the start of this issue, it grinds my gears. It's corny and it just doesn't work. It's some of the best Ramos that I've seen. And he's not someone that I think is untalented. He's not a terrible artist. I think his inker is, cause it's not just him. Yeah. I think his inker is a good match for him. I think that's part of what's working here. I don't think Ramos is a bad artist. He just does not sit well with me, and I would much rather avoid his work. But I think he's talented and hardworking. It's just really not for me.
I'm a buy Shield number 2.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an incredibly fun book, and I will follow Kamala to the ends of the earth.
And next one is a Doctor Strange issue. Spider-Man and Doctor Strange.
I can get into that.
Yep. This seems to be very good, almost like a team-up book to a certain extent, you know. But double buy, Shield number 2. Next up, Copperhead, number 5. Written by Jay Faber, artist Scott Godlewski, colors Ron Reilly, Thomas Maurer. On letters, this is bringing an end to the first arc. In a way I wasn't expecting.
It is unexpected, but I feel like it's, I don't know, I felt a little let down by how, maybe uneventful is the word, but it is, I don't know, did not go the way, it certainly did not go the way I expected.
Well, I think, I thought about this a bit, and yes, mm-hmm. The fact that she's like, she's talking to Ishmael, the artificial guy, and he's like, she's like, this whole situation just sucks, I haven't accomplished anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point of this.
Yes.
To show her, like, that it's a
dead end.
But then, like, it shows that she saved the dog, mm-hmm. or helped save the dog for the little girl. And it certainly does. I think there's a lot of character stuff in this, especially. It's not certainly a big action-packed conclusion, but I think that's the point. I think it's...
I'm on board for all this. I think the whole, like, last page right before the teaser page of whoever in the hell beardy guy is, this page where she's like, you're gonna be my babysitter, this nice little sitcom wrapping it up in a bow moment,
uh-huh,
that
is what bothered you?
It doesn't it kind of undoes the, like, the weirdness and ambiguity of what comes before. It's just a little bit too sweet to me. I think it really kind of ruins everything that you're describing, at least for me. I mean, not so far that I'm not a buy on this, because obviously Copperhead is one of the most exciting indie books that there is right now, but it's just a little bit like, really? You couldn't just sort of put that in the next issue? We would have understood it.
I don't mind it. It didn't come off as super saccharine sweet to me, as I guess. I felt like it's her trying to start to repair.
Yeah.
I don't know, the relationships. You know, mm-hmm. She wants to build relationships. As a sheriff, she knows she's going to be there for a while. She wants to have strong relationships with people, locals. And these people, you know, have just gone through a lot of trouble. She's trying to...
Yeah, oh, I'm not saying it's out of character or there's anything really wrong with it, except I would have rather it just sort of ended on different emotional beats and not had that thrown in there, because it feels corny. I mean, and it would have felt... to me, a lot more natural if we just sort of came into it and they're like, oh yeah, well, I guess she's looking after her kids. That makes sense. And I mean, you explain it in one panel in the next book and you get it. You understand everything that you're just saying about, you know, trying to build bridges and repair things. It just feels wrong. And I don't know. I think enough said about it. Honestly, this is a dumb point of contention about an otherwise very good book.
No, yes, I thoroughly enjoyed this comic. The art is still, I don't think we talk enough about how good this, I really, really, really like the art in this book. It's beautiful.
It's one of, it's been consistently excellent. And I think it's actually a little bit tougher for me to describe. I don't see the influences in it as much as I see in a lot of other books. It's a lot of sparse shadows, not a lot of shadows, clean lines. But everything is drawn very well. Literally the only thing I can think to compare it to is Mobius, but you know, that's like a wild card. Like it's like, oh, well, you like lines on paper, you like Mobius. It's not even fair. It's like a complete non-answer.
I'm a buy.
Yeah.
I will probably buy the trade of this.
I know because we are those people.
I own it. All five issues. I'm just going to buy them all again.
Yeah. We're stupid. Like we did for Saga. Multiple times,
and Southern Bastards. You see, got added to the Humble Bundle.
Mm-hmm. I got added to the Humble Bundle. So, congratulations, Mr. Aaron.
But double buy, Copperhead number 5. On to DC, to Batgirl number 38. Cameron Stewart, Brendan Fletcher, writers. Babstar art. Cameron Stewart doing breakdowns. Maris Wicks colors. J.K. Fletcher letters. This is a lot more of, this issue is more kind of relationship character building than pretty much, I don't know if any of the other issues have been, there is that racing at the end, but that's, I think that's just to emphasize all the character building.
This is probably the most text heavy Batgirl up until now. It's also my favorite one.
Really?
Yes. I really liked it. I like getting into these characters, and I like, I mean, it's a pretty beat up superhero trope, you know, that like, oh, well, she's a vigilante and blah, blah, blah. And I'm a cop and it's my job. And I like it. I don't know why I like it. I mean, this is a Spider-Man storyline from fucking 1960 or something. I don't know why it works, if it's a cute redhead girl that sleeps at school.
It's just, wouldn't the cop put two and two together? They're the same person?
Wouldn't Lois Lane?
Lois Lane does.
Eventually.
It takes like 40 years, but yes, does.
40 years from now, we'll check back in, and we'll see if Dumb Dumb Policeman, I have a feeling he's gonna get Gwen Stacy'd. He's gonna get dropped off of a bridge.
There is a couple moments where, like, how does he know things? Like, mm-hmm. and she doesn't remember telling him, and there's that weird phone call at the end. So I think there is certainly more to it than what's just in this issue.
Another transsexual person is impersonating her, but now on her phone. And now everyone's outraged.
I don't think that's what it is, Eric.
I actually am not
as strong on this issue as I am.
That's so weird.
Previous issues. I still like it. It's still good. I think it is the fact that this is like the oldest story in the world. That the fact that Fat Girl is a vigilante and she's on this city has Batman, mm-hmm. who's implicitly allowed to do whatever. I think Batman Eternal had him on the run, and he's at the end of Detective Comics. They thought he had shot a kid, even though Batman does it. Whatever. Yeah. It just seems like it's strange to focus on when there are literally dozens of heroes.
Of course, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the police like them.
I know.
They probably do not like them.
And the fact that I don't know if it's just the fact that she's making bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when they're like, Batgirl.
Well, what works about it is, you know, not that it's an exciting new sort of storyline, but just that it's character moments, and we get to see her, you know, pay the price for these things, and an actual emotion come through, not just be like, I'm gonna prance around and beat people up. Yeah, it's gonna be funny.
And it is executed very, very well.
It is. It absolutely is.
And the art is...
It's gorgeous. I was following Babs Tarr before this was announced. I can't even remember what led me to her, what images that I was like, okay, this person's cool, click. But I regret that I hadn't spent more time with her art, because this is full on amazing.
Yeah. It's very, very good. And despite me being lower on it than other issues, I'm certainly not saying it's not good. It's still very good. It's just, I'm not as strong as I am. I think I'm off the mush meter, though. I'm still a firm buy, though.
Mm-hmm. No, clearly. Yeah. I'm a confident buy.
Yeah. Double buy, Batgirl number 38. Finally, our last DC book of the week, our last book of the week. It is Grayson number 6. Where's the credits? There we go. Written by Tim Seeley. Plot by Tim Seeley and Tom King. Art, Michael Janin. Don't know how to say it precisely. Colors by Jeremy Cox. Letters, Carlos M. Mangual.
I regret I didn't get time to grouse about the technology gaffes in Batgirl.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, we'll just leave it that I'm angry about it. And I'm just gonna. I'm going to roll my eyes and be like, "Yes, you can talk about a computer. Yes, you got some viruses on your motherboard. That's nice. Very, very good. You're an idiot."
So I'm checking back in with Grayson. We've read previous issues. I've read it here and there, even off the podcast, because I've really enjoyed this series, and I really like this issue, even though I'm not completely clear about everything in it. But
God,
I really like it.
I'm so glad you said that first. I
understood the basic stuff. It's not that complicated. Hell, most of the issue is Dick fighting Midnighter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still there's. I think some of it is you're not supposed to know what it is. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
But I really still enjoyed it a lot. It's a lot of fun.
What was the last issue we read together?
Three.
This is six, right?
Yes, this is six.
I was going to say, it has been a long time since we read this, and it seems like nothing has happened. It's still like this Asian lady and Midnighter, and it really took like that many issues of dicking around to come back to people that were introduced when we were reading it.
His name is Dick Grayson.
I know. I'm pretty sure that's what put it in my head.
I think there's it's still only one arc, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this, to a certain extent, this series is designed to have issues that can be read alone. You could have read this as your first issue and it still would make enough sense that you, as long as you know the elevator pitch. Hey, mm-hmm. Dick Grayson's a spy.
Yeah, and it might as well be our first issue, and it still works well enough that I can enjoy it. You can pick up this book, and I mean, this is a strong DC title.
Mm-hmm.
I did think it's funny that Midnighter was checking out Dick Grayson's ass.
Well, he's a gay guy.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Authority, him and Apollo were, in the Authority, Apollo was the Superman analog, Midnighter is the Batman analog, mm-hmm. and they were a couple.
That's adorable.
And now, I don't know what's going on. I don't know that they're in DC, it makes no sense at all, but whatever. We'll just accept it that yes. Dick Grayson is fighting Batman, basically. But,
Batman.
He is a gay Batman. I like him a lot better than Batman, but...
Do you really?
Have you read The Authority?
No.
We'll do a book club eventually. It's a very,
sounds,
very
sounds
good,
good. Title. Yep. Put it on the list.
Yep. The art's still very strong. I really like the fact that the colors really do kind of imply, kind of connotate that 60s spy feeling mm-hmm. with the weird neons and spirals and all that. Like
lots of spirals.
Thematically, it has spirals. And there's an orca with, like, mech legs.
I mean, more things should have spider legs. I can't wait till I get them.
The Earth will rue the day.
I know. Yes.
Yes.
All of you tiny people that have wronged me, wait till I get my spider legs.
That's all it'll take. Yes. But I'm a buy. I still really like this. This is it's a very good book.
My God, are we double buy on every book this week?
We are. It's a strong week.
That is an excellent week of comics. Hats off to you, Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Double
buy. You managed to not lay any turds.
Nope. At least not in anything we read. I pick and choose.
Are you ready for this? I read other books.
I have not yet, so what did you read?
I read the Rat Queen special, and I read Wild's End number 5.
I've bought them both. I've not read them yet.
I liked both of them an awful lot. Wild's End also pretty good. Still a little bit aimless, really curious where it's going to go, if the next one is going to be the final one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be 6 issues.
It is still a fantastic anomaly. It feels like kind of nothing is happening. It's just they're stumbling from place to place, and now it's just about animals getting killed.
Oh, good. I think that's the whole series for the most part.
Yeah.
I think it's been a death and issue.
Right. It's exclusively about that now.
Oh, good. That's the only thing.
Yeah, that's the only...
Because that was my favorite thing about the series.
Uh-huh.
Was watching little pigs, little cute animal... Mm-hmm. Surrogates for us get burnt alive by robot aliens.
Ham roasts.
I'm looking forward to reading it. We can talk about Rat Queens next week.
Well, we'll have to. I think that it's...
we can have an addendum.
It's going to be talked about for a long time.
Okay, well, now I'm excited. But yeah, strong week. Double buy everything. Grayson number 6, double buy. Batgirl 38, double buy. Copperhead number 5, double buy. Shield number 2 and Star Wars number 1. All double buys. We haven't had this in a while, actually. We haven't had an all double buy week.
We haven't
in a while. So that's it for weekly floppies. Floppy's part of the week is now over. Until next week. So just a week away. Always a week away.
Mm-hmm. Perpetually.
Perpetually. Next up, it is time for checking in. Checking in is part of the show. Eric and I talk about what I've been up to during the week. You want to go first, Eric? You want me to go first?
I don't have a whole lot to discuss, really, except, some boring humdrum stuff.
Go ahead.
I'm making refrigerator pickles. Isn't that exciting?
You're making refrigerator pickles?
Yeah, I'll send you the recipe. I'm really excited. You're wrong. I will say it does seem like cooking almost never pans out because, like, oh, you want to make something homemade? Well, it's going to cost three times as much as it would have cost to just buy it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm making, like, a giant, like, out in a Mount Olive giant, like, whole dill pickle container. I'm making that full of cucumbers. I mean, I could buy that for, like, what, $7?
Probably.
And I've probably spent 15 to 20 on ingredients for this.
Yeah. You'll probably get a slightly better pickle.
I'm sure I will. I imagine these are going to be pretty good. And I'm very excited for them, and it was fun to make them and all these things, but damn.
Yeah,
cooking is not a way to save money. If you want to cook good things anyway.
It depends. It's complicated.
If you cook a lot of pasta and rice, yeah, you'll really save a ton of money.
Well,
and then die.
I don't think the idea is to make your own pickles, Eric. I don't think when people say cook, they don't mean start a pickling operation.
Those people are wrong.
Anything besides pickles?
Of course.
Okay.
Tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Is the return of the fabulous Tampa Bay Drink and Draw Social Club to much applause. There we go. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's it.
I mean, what am I going to talk about? I'm getting a bunch of nerds together to talk about dumb shit and draw stuff. It's going to be fun.
Every time I've gone, it was fun back in the old days.
In the long ago, yes.
Back before we knew each other very well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
And we sweated out and talked about Skyrim in that little tiny room.
It was 90 degrees in there. It was literally 85 degrees in that room. And everyone was burning up hot. Yeah.
We were dying.
There were like 12 of us in there. It was so warm. And we kept talking about Skyrim.
Well, it's very important.
we were bonding. I remember nothing from that conversation other than that we talked about Skyrim.
Yeah, that's about it. We were talking about bows. I was trying to get a good bow, and you're like, yeah, you can get this bow. I'm like, you can make that bow? He's like, yeah, I have that bow. I'm like, cool, yeah. I need to get that bow.
That's what you do, man. You just make 100 trillion knives, and then all of a sudden you know how to make bows.
That's it.
That's exactly what you do.
That's what I did. Yep. Iron dagger, iron dagger, iron dagger, iron dagger, iron dagger, iron dagger. 40 iron daggers.
But you can't use a cheat code to bump your thing up. That'd be cheating.
That'd be cheating.
That'd be gaming the system.
No, you put the time in.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours.
Yep.
Skyrim.
10,000 iron daggers.
10,000 iron daggers. That's all it takes.
So, I think that's enough for me. I'm stupidly excited about Drink and Draw tonight.
Yeah. I hope it goes well.
I can't imagine it being bad.
I have some video games to talk about, Eric.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. One I definitely suggest for you especially. One you'll have to, I guess, listen to what I say and then decide for yourself.
I'm going
to
open up Steam and look it up.
One of them's not on Steam.
Do I have to get it on Origin? Screw you.
No, man. No, it's itself. It sells only in its own thing.
That's, okay.
I'll get to it. First off, I have a game called The Fall, which is on Steam. That's where I got it. I don't think it's anywhere else, honestly. It's mostly adventure game. I used a controller to play. It does have very kind of light cover-based shooting at certain parts of it. It is certainly not the focal point of the game, but it is in there. So it adds a little bit in that regard. I heard about this game through the Giant Bomb podcast. Giant Bomb is a video game website. They have a very popular podcast where they, you know, and they did their end of the year kind of game of the year categories and stuff. And someone mentioned The Fall, and he's like, I'll give away the ending. And after I heard the ending, I'm like, wow, I really need to play this game. But I was then, I wish I had wanted to play this game before I heard the ending, because it's sort of, it is a spoiler to some certain extent. I'm not going to give it away, but I will tell you that it is a lot of fun. You play you're an AI on board a combat suit in the future.
Okay, stop drilling. You've hit oil. You can keep talking, but I'm already buying this.
And the game starts with you falling. You don't know why. You fall through like onto a planet, through the atmosphere into a planet, basically, and crash land. Your mission is basically to save the guy inside you, like inside the suit. Mm-hmm. He's unconscious. He's not responsive. You need to get medical attention to him. Find out what this planet is. You know, where there's medical facilities, hopefully, and try and save your operator. Most of the stuff on your suit is not working. It's not functioning. So you have to circumvent your own directives to get that stuff to boot up. And a lot of it is endangering your operator, which is strange because you're trying to save him. So, like, sometimes you'll be trying to turn on a gun, so to speak, so that you're camouflage shielding will turn on. Like it will say, oh, I need to be able to hide now so that the operator doesn't get shot, so that it will boot up. And then from that point on, you can then use your camouflage shielding. But it's point and click kind of gameplay where you pick up stuff and put stuff together and make things work. That some of it is my adventure games, I generally do like them relatively intuitive. Some of the stuff is very adventure gamey, and like you're just like going to something and like, hey, does this work? Hey, does this work? Hey, does this work? Hey, does this work? Oh, nothing works. I need to go find another thing. And that's probably the worst of it.
Yeah.
But the overall story and the dialogue and stuff is really, really good. And it is definitely about the nature of AI and sentience and all that, which is why I.
Yeah, that's
tell you. You need to you'll particularly like this game a lot.
That's my jam right there.
It's $10. This is only the first part of eventually be a three-part story. It's not particularly long. It's maybe took me 8 hours to beat.
You say and eight? That's
eight-ish.
That's not for $10. That's
yeah, it's not
bad.
No, but I'm dumb. A smarter person might be able to get through the puzzles faster. But the story itself is really solid, really strong. It really left me with something. So I definitely want to suggest that. It came out like last year, this summer sometime. And they've already confirmed that they are definitely making parts 2 and 3. So at least I will know there will be an ending at a certain point. But the it's not like you go like, oh, I need... Like if the game ended right there, I would still feel fulfilled enough that I wouldn't be upset. The other game I'm checking with is the game that's not on Steam. It is viable only through the developer's website. It's called Elite:Dangerous, which is the worst name.
That's a pretty bad name.
The worst name for this game, because it is, it's a long awaited, it's like a sequel to a very old game from 1984 that was called Elite. And so this game was Kickstarted. Now it's for sale retail. It's basically a space exploration sim. They have mapped the entire Milky Way galaxy on a one-to-one basis. And you have a spaceship and you fly around. And you can be you can play either by yourself with a whole bunch of NPCs, artificial, you know, computer-controlled characters, whatever. Or you can go online with other people. I am playing by myself. I really don't need other people to be involved in this. There's not really a difference in the gameplay, because it's certainly not really a quote-unquote multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm.
There's space stations around. There's planets. There's stars, obviously. You go to space station. You can pick up missions like, hey, take it from here. And go and bring it, take it over there. You're a space trucker. You can do that, which is I've already tweeted a couple times about my space trucking life has already begun.
Yes.
But you could also just use, well, I don't want to do that. I'm going to be a pirate. You can outfit your ship with guns and go blow up ships and steal whatever they got. Or you can take bounties out and go kill those pirates. Like you can take, you know, or you can go mine planets and sell the raw materials at the space stations. Or you can just drive around You don't have to do anything. There's no real story, and that's either a big detraction point to some people, or they don't. Or honestly, I haven't really cared about it. It's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's unbelievably beautiful. The planets and stars, and people talk a lot. I think the negatives in the review, like you spend a lot of time like traveling in between. Like there's three. There's hyper flight in this, or warp drive, or whatever you want to call it, faster than light travel. So you get between places quicker than what it would really take.
You don't actually have to, like, take 3 million years.
No, it does not take 3 million years to get between planets. But there are moments where you're just flying. But it's kind of, like, it's relaxing and enjoyable, and the scenery is great. And, like, it is a sharp-looking game. Like, just the UI and... It's this learning curve is a little steep. You have to like learn. I mean, it's a sim kind of thing where I've played it successfully with limited keyboard with mostly controller. And you don't really need to know more than that. There's a lot of stuff I'm not even bothering with because you don't really need it unless you want to. Like, there's people who have like 4 monitor setups with like 2 joysticks and all kinds of stuff and look controls tied to like a, you can play with Oculus Rift if you want to, I'm fairly certain.
I don't doubt it.
You can only get it through the developer's website. It's $60. I don't know if they'll ever drop the price because there's really no reason for them to do it. You can't get anywhere else unless you want to pirate it. But there's tons of game in there. It's infinite.
You have succeeded in making me incredibly excited about both of these.
Yeah, it's... Next week I'm probably going to be checking in with Elite again because I've maybe played like 5 hours of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already like, just want to go back and explore more.
That's wonderful.
And I can't understate this. Gorgeous. Like you fly, come out of like, they call it a phase shift, I think, this faster than light travel system.
Yes.
And you just come out right in front of a star and it takes up most of your field of vision. And like you have to, you like fly around the star, and it's like they map it 1-to-1. Like all the stars are like they're what they literally are. Like they've red dwarfs, and you know all the different kinds. I can't remember my science class, but you know, and like they have like errata on all these planets and what they have. It's like the Mass Effect part where you're like just traveling,
yes,
without the rest of the Mass Effect stuff.
Because that's really what's clunking up all that that Mass Effect. It's all that story and all those characters that you love.
There are like factions and stuff in
too
here.
Much,
and
too much space Batman.
There's rebels,
and blue lesbians.
Yeah, there's rebels in federations and stuff. But and you as you do missions for each faction, you gain I forget what they call it. Recognition, and then they'll give you more missions. They're adding to it. I think this is a work in progress. I mean, it left early access, like it went out of beta, and this is enough to be a full game, and I completely agree. But I think they're still adding more functionality to it. My God, I could play this game probably forever until
I'm watching the trailer for it right now.
Yeah,
and I think this is what the future looks like, a video game with 400 billion stars in it. I'm just like mouth agape. I cannot believe this is a thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised it hasn't become I imagine it's mainly because it's a PC game only.
Mm-hmm.
If this was a console game and they managed to get it to work only with a controller, like it'd be the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But it's only a very PC sim kind of game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. To me, this is a very PC concept. I don't know that console players would even be interested in this.
Mm.
Maybe if you played the game by playing Candy Crush. I don't know.
There is no Candy Crush in this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the opposite.
This is clearly the opposite of Candy Crush.
You have to learn landing procedures in this game. I'm going to say that right now.
Yeah.
Landing is the biggest pain in the ass in this game. Like in real life. So.
I am exactly this kind of nerd. Bring it on, bro.
Yeah. There is a lot of like dogfight mechanics in that. And like, I haven't actually engaged in my real play. I've not engaged in a dogfight yet,
mm-hmm.
but all the training, the fight training is really, really good, really tight.
Wow.
And a lot of fun. Combat is a lot of fun. My ship is like basically made out of paper tissue at this point. And, it would fall apart if I got in a real dogfight. So, and I'm going to upgrade a bit and then maybe I'll go hunt a bounty or something, but it's, that's certainly not just overlooked. Like, it really is really fun. The space flight stuff is super tight. It feels like I'm piloting a spaceship. Whew.
Hot damn.
I think I talked for about an hour there, so I think we're good to move on.
Well, it only has 400 billion stars in it.
Only.
That's all. How big is the install?
It didn't take that long.
Really?
I started it like at maybe 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. and by 11 it was 3/4 done, and then I went to sleep just to let it run. So a few hours. I didn't really know the size of the space it required. I didn't. 3.5 gigs.
Is that all?
I think so.
Wow.
I think a lot of it is like a star is a star is a star.
Yes, of course. It's all sort of built procedurally, and it doesn't really... It's like a yes. Yeah. Yes.
But those are damn good looking star
mm-hmm.
models. Whoever designed all the textures and stuff, like all the space stations, like there's unique looking space stations. Like one looks like a Borg cube.
Yeah.
And like all kinds of stuff. It's really, and like the interface is like, it's really sharp.
I got the jitters about this. I can't believe this is real. I'm going to have to watch some Twitch on this, I think.
Yeah, you get a better sense. I mean, you have to be okay with not being, like, just driving for a bit.
Yeah, that is also me. You've seen how many miles are on my car.
So, and, like, some people just, like, put on podcasts or music and mm-hmm. play it, you know, and they're just running around, which the music isn't particularly amazing, so you don't lose anything by, the sound effects are really great, but I love it. I was trying to pick up something with my little scoop,
mm-hmm.
something floating in space, and I accidentally ran into it and went thunk right off the top of my windshield.
That's terribly exciting.
It was amazing. So folks, checking in is over, finally. You guys don't. I'm sorry if you had to listen to me talk about space for 10 minutes, but whatever.
It's okay. I am into this stuff.
Into it.
Yes.
Lastly, but not leastly, our final segment of the show. It is time for Nerd Boy Book Club. Nerd Boy Book Club is part of the show, and Eric and I will assign a longer collected work and discuss it in depth, like you would in a book club, except it's a comics. It's a comics.
It's a comics.
It's a comics. This week, we are doing Saga 1 through 4, basically. I think mostly we're going to touch on 3 and 4, because those are the ones that are newest to us, and we haven't discussed them on the podcast in depth.
I reread everything.
Yeah, so did I, but I think...
I reread it all in one day, basically, after we recorded last time.
Yeah. Saga's great, guys.
News flash.
Podcast over. Let's go to bed. Where do we start? Where do we start with this, Eric?
Let's do a quick recap.
Okay.
Alana and Marco,
at the end of volume 2, are hiding
mm-hmm.
in the attic of the author, the writer character
Heist,
who wrote Oswald Heist, mm-hmm. who wrote the romantic novel that secretly is a revolutionary. propaganda.
It's the book club that made their baby.
That brought them together.
Yep.
That is with Prince Robot looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 starts kind of with a flashback with them, how they got to that point. Also with The Will and Sophie and Lion Cat and Gwen on that weird planet. Drug planet. And then there's also, they add a subplot of these 2 tabloid journalists
mm-hmm.
who are trying to...
Still barely in it.
No, yeah, they're not in it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to continue to play a small role.
It'll probably grow and grow as at least if all, you know, appearances are what they are.
Right.
Yeah.
And three kind of sees the end of, it feels like 1, 2, and 3 are the first, an act.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 starts another act, so to speak, even though it's all obviously still connected. I feel like them, after they leave Heist's house with, you know, the wheel ends up in the hospital. It feels like 4 is starting, Hazel's grown up, a little bit. She's a toddler instead of just a baby. And it's starting another chapter, so to speak. Whew, there's so much here.
It's almost exhausting, isn't it?
It's almost like it's a saga.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I see what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
I think the most interesting thing to me, at least in 3 and 4, is the way that how quickly it got shifted, Marco and Alana's story to this almost suburbia allegory.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting to me. How it got pulled back to a very, relatable story to people instead of being this crazy spacefaring adventure. Yes, they're on the run still, they're trying to hide, but suddenly she's a actress and he's a stay at home dad. And it could easily have been just two people on Earth, that story being told.
Yeah. I mean, that ultimately that's what draws us to these characters, is how human and relatable they are, even though it's oh, this guy's got a television for a head and he's got floppy ears and horns and, well, this girl's got a bat face. Why not?
Why not?
I'm some kind of, here's a spider monster that says stick it in my spinneret. My God, this book is amazing.
Oh, I don't know. What struck you the most out of, I know you just read 4, you said right after we recorded last week.
It was almost very shortly after.
What has struck you the most? What is the most interesting thing?
What was the most interesting thing?
One thing. You have to pick.
Really difficult to boil it down to anything. I would say my favorite thing about this book is how Vaughn and Staples can just keep introducing characters.
Right.
And every new character they introduce is your favorite character.
Yeah. It's like Mass Effect in that way.
Yeah. How do you do that? You know, they introduce his androgynous David Bowie sister. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, I love you now.
Hey, the brand's awesome.
Traveling through space with a fucking switchblade. Okay, that's the fucking shit.
Her and Deadpool Dog.
Oh, God, yeah.
Sweet Boy. The actual name is Sweet Boy, but Sweet it does. It looks like Deadpool.
That's a great name for a dog.
It is.
I adore that.
It has Deadpool's coloring, is why I say that.
I mean, why would it not? Yes, it looks like Deadpool, so it's Deadpool Dog. I think I follow your reasoning. Oh, yeah, he looks just like Deadpool. It's identical to Deadpool.
If Deadpool was a St. Bernard.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he is in some alternate reality. One of the Marvel Earths.
There's a Marvel variant cover somewhere with Deadpool as a St. Bernard.
Yes. I really like the way they're taking the Will storyline.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's I defy you to find something that's unlikable in this book. The only thing that I think I could even criticize is it seemed very transparent.
Mm.
That this is when she said this is when my parents split up, that it didn't mean get divorced or whatever.
Yes, they actually go separate paths.
Yes, that it was.
They are forced apart by circumstances.
Yes, it was painfully, painfully obvious that, yeah, that was not going to be what happened.
I don't necessarily expect them to enjoy this story, having Marco and Alana. I don't know how they're going to be at the end. because Hazel has alluded to multiple times losing family. Of course, she's yeah. her. Who knows what that means? Because
mm-hmm.
there's reading it from the beginning all the way through the end. Like, you wouldn't get it necessarily if you read single issues as they came out. There's stuff that they mention. She writes down in her like in a journal thing that doesn't come out till much later in the story. Like, they are foreshadowing things far in advance,
mm-hmm.
and you just have to be smart enough to catch it. What I was going to say is the thing that really struck me, or one of the things that struck me, there's a lot of things to talk about in this book, but the fact that they've really managed to, heteronormativity is not present in this book, I think, to a certain extent.
Mm.
I think that's very interesting, the fact that they, and the fact that they so successfully and quickly kind of shift your brain in that direction. Away from heteronormativity. Like, I think it really struck me is when the ghost girl,
mm-hmm.
when she's like, you know, what I miss the most is my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh yeah. And the fact, you know, the tabloid journalists are mm-hmm. You know, a gay couple, and like they have, like, there's all kinds of people in this.
Yeah. And that's,
yeah.
That's,
like in real life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people are, so complicated in this, and
mm-hmm.
you know, there's little seal guys and
I love whatever seal guy. I mean, goose. Mm-hmm. I thought I just said that. No, goose. What is the name of Tango? The rogue robot janitor guy? His name
Dango.
Dango. Okay. What do you think about him?
I feel like his. I kind of wish that his plan was a little bit better hatched. I'm not exactly sure where they're going to go with this, but I like that this is a thing that's happened in this story. This is a beautiful monkey wrench thrown right into this, and I'm really fascinated to see where it goes. What are you hoping to get out of me?
I think if there was the one thing I'm going to complain about,
mm-hmm.
I feel like he's a little, obviously it's all manipulative. It's storytelling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think if he feels a little transparent to me as a plot device,
mm-hmm.
would be my main criticism.
Mm-hmm.
I still really like him as a character. I think he's like, unlike his motivation, I really enjoy the fact that he had a child that died at such an awful, stupid way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what motivates him to go on this crazy rampage. I don't know. The way you said, like, you like every character. I don't know if I necessarily like him.
Yeah. Admittedly, he is the least likable, but we know almost nothing about him.
That I know. Not even in that sense. Like, there's, okay, you ready for a wrestling reference, Eric?
I just come prepared.
Okay. Oh, it's kind of part and parcel with me.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, are you familiar with the term heat in wrestling?
I am not.
Okay. Heat is when a heel wants to get heat. He wants to make people angry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what heat is. It's getting, I make people hate me. Mm-hmm. And like authentic hate.
Mm-hmm.
There was a term like coined. Are you familiar with the wrestler X-Pac? He was in DX,
yes.
Most famously. Yeah,
it's been a long time since I've thought about that guy, but yes.
Stringy,
yep.
Kind of
skinny dude.
Greasy,
yes.
Looking dude.
Yes.
There's a term coined for him called X-Pac heat, where it's, they don't hate him because he's a good villain. Mm-hmm. They hate him because he's a bad wrestler and he's boring. I think that's what I mean by not likable. It's, I don't like him necessarily because I don't feel much for him, like about him at all. It's like, I of course I don't like him because he's, you know, threatening people the characters I do care about,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have a true sense of, hopefully they will delve into him more and then I will, that's a fatal flaw of serialized comics is that you're not necessarily getting the entirety of the story, or anything about this character. It's just, he feels very much kind of.
He's a plot device to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do like everything that's happened because of him mm-hmm. being there.
Yeah.
And I still like the story it's being told. I just feel like he's like, oh, look, there's suddenly a lunatic. But again, it's
so much of the story is about the fallout of senseless war.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's true. Know what I was going to say next. So.
Right, and I'm not surprised that I just ran right in front of you and beat you to the punch there. But I mean, it fits too well for me to really feel very critical of it.
Yeah.
You know, I completely buy his motivation. I think they're trying to give him some nuance that, you know, his plan is kind of fucking up and he's a little bit of an idiot, and it feels too right, too believable, that I'm not very critical of it.
Yeah.
Bothered by it.
No, I do kind of, I give them the benefit of the doubt, obviously.
Yes.
The fact that I think we're starting to see the thesis statement laid out for us.
Mm-hmm.
In this book, like you said, about the fallout of war,
yeah,
and manipulation by governments and yes. stuff like that. And that's genuinely exciting to me. Like, I'm very excited to see where this book goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge slight. I mean, it's not like I hate him or anything, or I'm not, when you feel so, like you said about like the brand just suddenly appears, you're like, wow, I love this character. Like, mm-hmm. I really am empathetic with them. Like, and like, I know so little about them, yet I feel like I know a lot about them. And I didn't feel that with this guy. Like, I felt like he was like, hey, I'm a janitor. My kid died in a very sad and tragic way. No one cares.
Mm-hmm.
I'm murdering people. I have a bad plan.
Amazingly, a lot of it works really well.
Yeah. I love little Hazel. Little toddler Hazel's adorable.
She annoys the shit out of me.
Well, yeah, she is annoying, but I think that's part of it.
I guess so.
She's an authentic child.
She is, and usually we're on the opposite ends of this. Like, I see a child walking around acting like an asshole, and I'm like, aw, and you're like, I'm going to kill that thing.
I don't mind a child. What do you think about Prince Robot IV? Do you have a sense of him yet?
I think so. I like how fucked up and flawed he is. I like his fucked up father issues. Prince Robot is on the short list for my favorite character in this book.
Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely. From the beginning. And he's one of the things that really drew me into this book from the beginning, is you have such empathy. I mean, he was basically Darth Vader at the beginning of this book.
Yeah.
And you develop such empathy for him. And as it goes on, he just gets more and more flawed and more interesting. And just more and more complicated. And basically everything that he does makes him more endearing to me.
I was going to say, that last page reveal.
Yeah.
Then we suddenly have Johnny Cash, Prince Robot,
mm-hmm.
with...
Now I like him even more. You've upped the ante now.
With King of Sparta, Marco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got the This Is Sparta beard, doesn't he?
Yeah, and the fucking shield and the sword and shit.
Yeah, it's got his Bat girlfriend's face on it.
It does. Well, I guess that's where they live. I guess it makes sense.
You gotta get magic weapons from somewhere.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty outrageously cool last panel to end on.
Yes, and incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
Where? No, not now. I want more.
Yeah.
Don't end. Give me 6 more volumes right now. Hurry up, Fiona Staples.
Doesn't take time to draw things.
No, it's instantaneous, right?
Mm-hmm.
No work at all.
Mm-hmm. It takes exactly as long as it takes to look at it.
Yes.
That's the way it works.
Hey, that page took me a minute. Mm-hmm. So it took a minute to draw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
I don't know why no one has drawn, like, a young The Will with Lion Cat as a kitten. Where's that at?
I think that's out there. I'm fairly certain that's... If I searched, let me see.
Well, it just occurred to me for the first time... Well, not now for the first time, but reading this. Like, oh, yeah. Lion Cat was a kitten at one point.
Oh, there's a kitten, Lion Cat. And it says fibbing. Oh!
Gross. Oh. Gross. Fibbing.
Oh, that's so cute.
God, you are a special boy.
And there is one with him tugging at the Will's cape as a kitten with a little toy. Oh.
You know something that is nothing short of remarkable to me is how Fiona Staples can make these people's make people look related. Like Hazel looks, she looks like a child of those two people. She looks related to both of them. Marco looks like his mother and his father. How the hell do you do that? That's crazy.
Talent, skill.
That dude, you have no idea. That's like some next level shit there. Maybe she's got really great, like, live model. Like, she's got a whole family that she just draws. You know, she's like, okay, just stand here. All right, pin her against the wall with her legs wrapped around you. All right, just stand there for a half an hour. I'm going to draw you. I don't know how you do that. It's too on the nose. It's too perfect. And it's so consistent.
Yeah.
There's no shift. Amazing. I don't know how it's done.
No, her art is
it's
unbelievable.
She's actually, I would say, gotten better.
Yeah. Well, like I think she's gotten a better hang of
mm-hmm.
the characters and the world and everything. It's just,
yeah.
It seems to be a way a lot of the time with artists is they, if they're on a series for a long time, they kind of understand the rules, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
better and are, can settle into kind of a consistent tone. I don't know how to say things.
That's okay. Talking's hard. It's the Lombardo method.
Is that our meme? Is that the meme we're going for now?
I hope so.
Lombardo method. How do you think about her, like you said, the family? What about King Robot and Prince Robot? Do you think she tracks their likenesses similarly?
I don't understand the question you're asking me.
I'm making a joke.
King Robot is a complete joke.
He is a joke.
He is introduced as a joke. I really kind of wish he wasn't so preposterous, so we could feel a little bit more of the emotion of this, but I think it's, I don't know, I guess it's just supposed to be this statement of, like, dad's just sort of being larger than life, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like this huge thing to you, and whatever. I guess it kind of communicates the emotion of, you know, father issues that we all have.
In the idea of monarchy in general.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's just big and, yeah, like, you know, the Pope's wearing that giant hat,
mm-hmm.
and you're like supposed to take them seriously. Like that idea of royalty, you know, wearing just, you know, these ridiculous ceremonies and the pompousness of it all and the ridiculousness, and they're supposed to be the most respected people and in charge and have the most power, and yet they are beholden to such ridiculousness. You know, how do you know which one is the king?
Mm-hmm. Can't even tell.
Not the one. He's the one not covered in shit.
Yeah. I didn't know that's what you were going with there.
That's what I was going with.
That's
but
fine.
I do like that he's remote control staff for some reason. He has a universal mm-hmm. Remote staff for some reason.
Well, right. That's what makes you the robot king.
Is that you? Whoever holds the universal remote staff.
I mean, clearly, that's how you control robots.
That's true. Do you think they're saying anything with all this? It seems like a very kind of faint. With her being on this basically television show,
mm-hmm.
and the fact, like, they talk about how it destroys people's brains and it ruins them. Is that, it feels like it's too on the nose to be any kind of true criticism. I don't know. Like, it's hard to be good parody when it's like, well, that's honestly true. Like, it's not like, hey, yeah, TV's worthless. Like, reality shows, obviously, but.
Yeah.
I think that's just.
It really is the case that even good TV you shouldn't waste a lot of time on it because, yeah, even the best and smartest stuff.
Well, I mean, when it's like they're kind of the statement they're making about mm-hmm. war and governments is so subtle and artful.
Yeah.
I when they go the complete opposite direction and talk about television, it is.
Well, I mean, it's not even, you could really extend this to any kind of media that it's about emotional manipulation and, you know, your brain creating the endorphins and putting you on this emotional ride. And it's one of the reasons that we read these things. You know, you could even extend it to this very book. I don't know. It's
kind of a
goofy thing to put in there, but sensible.
But are they trying to say something by making it not subtle? Like, is that the point?
Mm-hmm.
Like, here, let's bash you over the head with like how gross and dumb this is, and you like, are they? I think that is the point. Like it. I think with the fact that everything, all the other kind of subtle criticism of today's culture is very artful.
Mm-hmm.
With the fact that I would think they wouldn't include such a unsubtle, blatant critique of television unless that is the point itself. Like the fact that it is so like in your face and disgusting and awful.
I really hate Oswald's ex-wife. Ex-wife. I don't even remember.
Yeah, she is.
The ant thing.
The drug dealer.
Yeah, the drug dealer. And as a proxy, I fucking hate Alana in this issue.
Well, you're supposed to not like... They're not,
I know. She's
supposed to be...
She's thoroughly dislikable in this.
Well, I think they ain't even... What is it? What does Hazel say? And well, she writes... Everyone who appears in this story first appear to be as heroes, and then mm-hmm. they end up being villains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot about these are real people and real flaws.
Yeah,
and
no, and I don't expect every character to be likable at all times. They just need to be incredibly interesting.
Which they are, for the most
they
part.
They are. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem feeling alienated from a character. As long as they make the story interesting. But I just, something about, what is her name? Yuma. Yeah. Something about her just, I just kind of detest her.
Well, she sells drugs.
Yeah.
To people. And second, she's gives up.
Yeah.
Gives up the family because she doesn't want to die. And she like even says, I didn't realize how much of a coward I am
mm-hmm.
until, you know, it came to it. She has genuine heat.
Yeah.
As if we're going to bring it back to wrestling terminology, which I always do.
Naturally.
I think I like Lion Cat the most. I don't care. Lion Cat's the best of everything ever.
The return of Lion Cat in this book was fairly awesome. They're just like having this big brawl, and you're like, oh man, someone's about to get it punched, and then you don't even see it coming. Lion Cat for the win.
Lion Cat FTW. I don't think she's the best character. Lion Cat is the best character in this book. I think it's the best character in the entire world.
In any book.
Anything. Mm-hmm. Even in real life.
Yes.
It's the best thing. Did they ever gender Lion Cat? Is it a she explicitly? I think she
calls it a she, doesn't she? The brand calls it a she.
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't seen her since she was a kitten.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's what she says. I want to read that.
I'm gonna find
last time I saw her, she was a kitten. Yes.
There you go. Okay, so it is a female cat.
Mm-hmm.
Female lion cat. If mm-hmm. there's a male lion cats out there, I assume there are, but who knows in this world. All the lion cats could be female. All the male cats of that species don't have any abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Only the female cats are able to tell the difference. They are actual lion cats.
The male lion cats have gaydar.
Gay.
It's very nuanced in the saga world.
So dumb.
He's
so stupid.
Yeah. He's that guy's gay, but he's only gay for seal men.
Oh, is that it? Yeah. It's very, yeah. That's... He's like, oh, that guy, it's like a Kinsey scale mm-hmm. system, basically. Okay. Yeah. I like that. It's a little bit more nuanced.
Yes. There. She's like, that guy's, I love the, she's like a combination of Rachel Maddow and David Bowie.
Yeah. That's kind of, yeah.
The, like the brand. The best.
And we haven't really seen her in action yet. And from, like, I like I, from the, you know, the mercenary
yeah.
manager guy, he's like, don't, never use her unless absolutely necessary.
I know.
Like, I'm anxious to see her in action, like.
See her fuck some shit up.
Murder folks. Yep. Yeah.
I don't know. She seems pretty, pretty calm so far. Got yeah. it under control.
Under control.
Mm-hmm. I had forgotten.
Almost loses it when she finds out the girl's name, Sophie. Yeah.
It didn't seem like it. I don't know. That
I mean,
moment
for her when
that,
she's such a kind of in control character when she's like, oh, you're.
I don't know. I just kind of want more of everyone. That's the problem.
It is.
Like, you could pretty much base a whole book around every one of these characters, which I hope happens when they finish Saga, is there's just, like, you know, there's before Saga, and they just writes, like, an issue or two or a small arc about every goddamned character.
Can I get a kitten, lion cat,
yes.
lion kitten?
Yes, you can.
Arc? I want 4 issues of Lion Kitten, just yeah. being cute.
Who draws it? Scotty Young?
It's not bad.
Seems like there's the
anybody
who's you know, who's the Capture Creatures artist?
I was about to say the yeah. Capture Creatures artist.
I think it needs to be sickeningly saccharine. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I would have it no other way.
Mm-hmm. The sword and shield totally came from his bat girlfriend's house. It's even in her house.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the night when he went over and mm-hmm. she's wearing a T-shirt.
Punk T-shirt.
It's like the I don't care what your name is. That's the hottest thing in the universe.
Even if you have a bat face.
Yeah, I am okay with it.
She does. It is hanging on her wall.
I would.
You're
I
right.
would. Yes. I know. I would. I would sleep with Batgirl. I would be. I'm into it.
God, that relation there. That whole thing is so painful.
What's painful about it? I really liked that it was in there.
No, it Alana makes, and Marcos.
Yeah,
that. I mean, it's their distance in between. That's painful.
Oh yeah, no, it's great. Oh God, it's so good. I love that he complicates that. He just takes it to the brink. You know, I kind of wish that they go over the edge, that, you know, that, like, you know, maybe they actually cheat on each other. Maybe it's actually, like, the violence is a little bit more. Maybe she, like, is more of a drug addict. I don't know that. Now that I'm saying all these things out loud, I think I would stop accepting it. I think he's probably
yeah,
done.
That's, yeah.
I think he's had just the right touch. I was trying to make a statement that I feel like I would be more accepting of these things and I would be willing to forgive the characters. But as I'm saying it, I'm like, he probably has done exactly the right amount.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
He's like, it's
any more. And I think it,
yeah,
it is. Suspends mm-hmm. disbelief. You have to suspend your disbelief a little.
I don't know that
it
suspends disbelief, but it just becomes too much about it being dark, and it really shifts the focus away from what it is. It's just supposed to be complicated and messy.
It is that, certainly.
That's what makes it work.
Yeah, so good.
Goes
it's like
saying.
The ability to move these characters around and team them and put them together in interesting ways. Like, the, you know, we have Gwen and Sophie and Lion Cat, and then the brand gets added to that, and then you have the Will and Prince Robot suddenly together, and like, and then every, like, just seeing these personalities interact, like, having them all be distinct in such interesting ways, it's really, it's unbelievable. Level of skill.
Hmm.
God, so good.
It's, yeah. It's the kind of thing that I can hardly believe exists.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you think this is what Brian K. Vaughan is remembered for?
I hope not, because that would mean he would make something even better.
Right, but of everything that's out so far, obviously, I think
clearly.
Why the Last Man is the thing that I think most people identify him with.
This is
starting to take over.
This is head and shoulders better. I mean, this is one of the biggest books in all of comics now.
Mm-hmm.
It's I am reading Why the Last Man right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like this so much more than Why the Last Man. It's ridiculous.
I agree with you. I like Saga more.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Why the Last Man is, it's fine. Honestly, I think he was a little green when he did it. And it's too early 2000s. It just feels kind of icky to me too. It feels too dated.
I think a lot of it is the fact, I think Fiona Staples is bringing, I think he is giving her.
The collaboration is a lot of what makes it work. And
yeah. And from what I've read of how they work together, I think he is her portion of the, you know, the storytelling is mm-hmm. adding more to his ideas.
Yes.
And obviously her art, she's a relatively young artist, so I'm not going to try and put that. I mean, this is something I think any artist would be known for their entire lives. But again, I hope that it's not, because that means they do something else better,
or I will accept as good.
Okay. Yeah. As good as the best comic.
Yes.
Anything that's as good as the best thing we're reading, I'll accept. That's allowable.
It's passable.
It's permissible.
Mm-hmm. I'd give it about a B.
Solid B plus. Come on.
B plus plus.
Oh, wow.
That's like an 89.4 with a check mark beside it.
Yep. And a smiley face.
Mm-hmm. And a wink.
You have to do that.
That's what
you have to make the noise.
It's radio. I can't just wink at radio.
You can.
It doesn't. The winks don't come across in an Audacity file.
I guess that's fair.
So,
although, have you seen the stuff that Image Expo announced for Brian K. Vaughan's and Cliff Chang's called Paper Girls?
No.
That looks like a pretty cool comic, but we'll see how it goes. I can't wait till it comes out, but a lot of good comics coming out this year. Yeah, Saga. Hey, guys, it's a good comic. You should read it if you're not reading it. I think we are.
If you haven't gathered that from now, there's no hope for you.
Yeah, this is, I think, the book that most people, we recommend to people who want to, hey, you're getting into comics. You want to see the best thing that you could get.
Yeah, I have,
read Saga.
I literally push it on everyone that I think has even any tangential interest in comics. I'm like, well, you're kind of a nerd. You should read Saga. And usually it works because it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It's converted people.
Yeah.
Next week, I mentioned The Authority to Eric earlier in the show. It's what we're going to do. We're going to break Eric's Authority cherry.
It's
a little uncouth of me, but it's a great book. I really, really enjoy it.
Where's Gay Darkat to come and see where I'm at on that scale?
I don't know. Draw it, Eric.
Gay Darkat. You can be the one. You want me to draw? You want me to draw Gay Darkat?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think I could do it without being incredibly offensive, but I'll
call it. No, just call it the Kinsey Cat.
Kinsey Cat.
It tells you where you're on the Kinsey scale.
I like Gator Cat.
I know, it has more of a pop to it.
It has more pop to it. I think it's acceptable to say Gator Cat.
I think so. If not, oh well.
Oh well.
Anyway, Authority 1-12. The original first core of it before it went all crazy. More crazy than it originally was.
Mo crazy.
But it's a tremendous book. I'm very excited to read it again.
Sweet.
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 I think that'll wrap us up. We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us at handsomeboyscomicshour.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/handsomeboyscomicshour. Twitter at HBCHour. Email us, handsomeboyscomics@gmail.com. Any of those places, please let us know how you feel. You know, give us, want emails about your feelings.
Yes. If you have a stomach ache, tell me about it.
Tell us, tweet at us about your stomach aches.
Yes.
Also, thoughts on comics, and if you want us to read something.
Oh, yeah, those are, that's way preferential.
thoughts about the show, any of that. Also, rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes. Really helps us out. Even one review makes a difference. It certainly helps a lot. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter at MixmasterShale. It's MixmasterCreal. Eric, where can they find you online?
Why? You can look at my portfolio by going to freewillunlimited.com. You can see most of the things I get up to online by going to ericzgoodnight.com. You can see my Tumblr and Pinterest. Amazing. And you can also tweet at me. Twitter handle is Mr. Bad Example, spelled MR Bad Example.
And with that, folks, we'll call it a day. Have a good one.
Rock and roll.